comment that most interests me, I mean, they're all very interesting, fascinating people. One is Amsterdam, one was Yitzchak Blazer, one was Simcha Zisel Brode. Simcha Zisel was the Rebbe of the Altar of Slobodka, so I feel like very attached to him. That's the Altar of Slobodka, by the way, on top of Zechariah. That's Zvi Mikkel. That's the one in Slobodka Musa a little bit. So Simcha Zisel Brode built a yeshiva different places in Kelm, actually. People make fun of Kelm, but that's just the children's tales. Very famous yeshiva in Kelm and in Grubin. And it was a very interesting yeshiva. It was so interesting that the Prussian authorities sent their educational board to go learn about running institutional networks by studying this yeshiva that Simcha Zisel had orchestrated. And one of the things that was very intriguing about the yeshiva was that every Elul, there was a group of Talmidim that formed these Elul societies where they would take Kabbalahs amongst each other. If the next 40 days, we all agree and we all decide to. And I'll pass it around. They actually had contracts that you have to sign. And some of the issues were very hardcore. Some of them were much more subtle. Not to speak Lashon Hara, not to speak unnecessarily, but one of them was a Tanis Dibur every year. There'd be people that have a Tanis Dibur for 40 days, not to speak anything but Torah during 40 days of Elul. And I'll try to photos down some of these and show them to you. Don't worry, we're not going to impose some of those strict standards. But there's a sense that in Elul, things are different. They're not just different. Not just different intellectually, but experientially. And I think that, to me, one of the takeaways I'd like you to bring from yeshiva is the ability to get into these zones when important days are coming. And you talk about important days like Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, like Pesach, like Tisha B'Av, more or less. You walk out of your reality. I'm not sure that people are so skilled at that today. I think we've created a very integrated, flat religion. Everything's part of one piece, and we just go seamlessly from one to another. And you have to step outside your world, and you have to feel a little bit different. But to me, the indicator always is it'll be this year. I remember a couple of years ago, Yom Kippur, or Rosh Hashanah, I forget which one, fell out on Sunday night, and opening day for the New York Jets was Sunday afternoon. And the game was scheduled for 4 at the stadium, and you should have heard the outcry and the uproar from New York's Jews. How could they schedule a game for Erev Yom Kippur? I was just appalled. I was crying. How could anyone watch a game on Erev Yom Kippur? Erev Yom Kippur in my house is a sense of excitement, of transcendence, of, you know, I listen to English music, I enjoy English music. Erev Yom Kippur, I go to a different place, and my house is filled with a different type of music. And Tisha B'Av is not in our house like a cemetery. You know, no one says hello, no one says quiet, everyone's in their own world. And Pesach, and ability to create these alternate, expanded states of religious consciousness and be able to prepare for them. And when you're in yeshiva, you can finally make that preparation because the environment supports it. When you leave yeshiva, you have to really generate it on your own. It's so hard for me when I see a television on 2 hours before Shani Yom Kippur. It's obvious you can't just back into Yom HaDin. There has to be a mental state that you prepare at least for the day, I mean, if not a couple of days before. So we're trying to increase some of that, ratchet up some of that intensity beginning Matzei Shabbos. And you'll feel it Matzei Shabbos. And don't worry, trust us, we're not going to push you off any cliffs. You know, we know how to do this, we've done this before, but we'll make sure that it's balanced. We'll make sure that this time's to let off some gas and some steam and some air and to just not be pushed into this corner where just you feel so religiously pressured that you explode. But you're going to feel it Matzei Shabbos, and even Matzei Shabbos is a nice program. There's a Kumsitz and there's a Shir, and you'll feel very excited. I have to tell you right now, just so you shouldn't think I'm a hypocrite, I probably do, but I'm not going to be. Slichos is a really, really exciting Matzei Shabbos. There are people that are coming from all over the country just to be in the yeshiva for Slichos. Rav Amital's famous Sichot, I'm going to talk about them today during the Rosh Yeshiva book on Slichos. There's a recording of Rav Amital's Slichos. You can hear his voice that people long for. It's an exciting time. There's one person that's not going to be in the Beis Medrash for Slichos is me. And the irony is, and you'll see the irony after a few minutes, is because father-in-law is a chazan in Yerushalayim. We don't get to hear him daven Shani Yom Kippur because we're all here. So at Kavod, we go Matzei Shabbos to hear him say Slichos, and So I'm going to be with him saying slicha, so you won't see me. I mean, I'll probably show up because I'll tell you in a minute, his slichas will be over sooner than here, so I'll come back just to be there for the slicha. So why am I giving this whole introduction? Obviously because it has general relevance, but in particular to one specific aspect of your preparation. It's going to sound strange, but I want you to get accustomed to it. Sometimes people ask me, my shul has a 10:30 slichas, my shul has a 10:15 slichas after Maariv, should I go to that slichas? Can I go to that slichas? And a lot of people are opposed for halachic reasons, although it's hard to really apply halachic standards to something which is a minhag. But for some people, the Rav, for example, suggested that perhaps slichos, since Judaism has such an aversion to adding tefillos, we don't add tefillos, so therefore the only way we can daven slichos is if it's inserted into a space that you really can't daven any other tefillos, is dead part of the day, which is a non-tefillot part, not really ma'ariv. It's just after chatzos and before the nets or appended to the beginning of shacharis, and that's why al-pi halacha the person daven slichos should finish shacharis because it's one tefillah and mashmaris haboker. A lot of people start to analyze the question from a halachic standpoint. What are the halachas of slichos, and can it be said at 10:30 before chatzos? To me, those are interesting questions. I feel like slichos is more of a minhag and shouldn't be subject to that type of halachic scrutiny. But I'm more concerned with something else. Slichos is an attempt. And here's the word, and get ready for it. And he'll wake up for it because you're going to be feeling it a lot. It's called to destabilize you. It's the Yom HaDin, and you shouldn't walk into the Yom HaDin feeling comfortable and relaxed and well rested. And Rosh Hashanah is just New Year's Day with the turkey and cranberry sauce. There are parts of Rosh Hashanah that are gallant and regal and celebratory, but there's got to be that double edge. And obviously, Yom Kippur, the edge shifts a little more away from the joy and the celebration. I'll try to help you somehow see that on Rosh Hashanah, the two really are consistent, the edge and the fear and the trembling and the gravitas and the solemnity and the regality, the nobility. They really are consistent. I'll try to show you their point of consistency. But at least emotionally, you have to feel the Yom HaDin. To me, even in my own lifetime, I've seen a little bit of a softening of that aspect. Especially in Eretz Yisrael, when the yeshiva in the Hesder world, there's a lot of Hasidic influence. You could go to certain Hesder yeshivas, and you can ask your Israeli friends about their Hesder yeshivas about high school. Where's Yair? Is Yair here? Yair's not here. But you can ask in Makor Chayim, Rosh Hashanah is very much like Simchas Torah. A lot of dancing, a lot of hakafos, a lot of people on the shoulders. And you have to understand in Israeli context, it's not my cup of tea. I think it works for people that are in a certain place, but I just feel like Rosh Hashanah, like my family knows there are two words that you're not allowed to say in Rosh Hashanah. It's a joke in my family, because these are jokes, but these jokes become educational models. You're not allowed to say Shana Tova. Shana Tova is just the Hebrew version of Have a Good Year. Happy New Year. And it's part of that, and Baruch Hashem is a national feel, and you'll sense the national feel, and Baruch Hashem, that phrase is very popular in Israel, so even people that aren't enmeshed in the Yom HaDin wish each other Shana Tova as a national, and I'm thrilled. And all the supermarkets, you'll see the rimonim and the honey and all the cultural reference points. But to turn Rosh Hashanah into New Year's, it's just such an emasculation of a day that has such depth and such dimension to it, and such magnitude. So I'm makvid, everyone in my family knows, until Musaf, you have to say L'shana Tova Tichaseh V'Seh. You have to say the whole sentence. And then after Musaf, you have to say K'sivach Sima Tova. K'sivach Sima Tova. If I hear any, and it's a joke, like I'll walk in the yeshiva and people will say to me, Shana Tova, K'sivach Sima Tova. I won't do it in a way that's brash or snot-nosed. But K'sivach Sima Tova, K'sivach Sima Tova. Quick, like Chassidus. K'sivach Sima Tova. I'll say it quickly. Because it's not Shana Tova. It's Kodesh Baruch Hu is being called Sefer Chaim and Meisim. It's a Chassim. There's some, and I want to make sure that those two elements remain intact. So part of it is just really being exhausted. Part of it is coming to Rosh Hashanah and just not being on your game. Realizing that as much as you feel you control this world, as much as you feel, I have to tell you, I'm doing a lot of Rav Amital processing. I did a lot of talking about Rav Amital because I felt like there's an underappreciation of who he was, and I was giving a lot of shiur across the world. And then I took a year off to talk about Rav Aaron, and obviously that was something that took precedence the last year. Now I'm returning a lot to Rav Amital and a lot of initiatives I'm working on. And I went two nights ago on YouTube, and I just wanted to feel my Rebbe's presence, not just in the thoughts, but see him and hear him. And I looked at a video he made for the dinner, which took place about 3 months before he was Nifter. If you remember, Rav Amital was like a mythical figure. I mean, the strength of his personality. You know, he wasn't physically imposing like with Lichtenstein, but you just felt like a strength and a spirit that was inconquerable. This was a couple of months before he was Nifter. And it was just, you could see a broken man. He had been ravaged by sickness. His voice could barely talk. And he was like crying, you know, Tadavin for me, help me, I have a Muna, Baruch Hashem. Just, it was very powerful because you could see him really living with the Kodesh Baruch Hu. But it just reminds you that Rabbasar Vadam, and as much as we don't create a world which is dark and dank and futile, every year when we get to Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, that attitude to realize that where we are and what this world is really about and the difference between this world and the next world and Manu Machayenu, Matzivkenu, Mayishenu, that should sink in a little bit more. Each person his own proper dosage and calibration. So part of it really is slichos. Part of it is making yourself, taking yourself to a different place. I know next week I'm going to be exhausted. I already got the wedding. I'm going to give 2-3 shiurim in different places. I want to feel that I'm pressing myself and pressing my limits. And that's why I feel, for the rest of your lives, starting this year, don't look for easy solutions to slichos. Aside from actually saying slichos, it's preparation for the Yom HaDin. It's putting yourself, Beis Hashem Nahalech Miragesh, Beis Hashem Nahalech, all the psukim in the beginning of slichos, Bo, are all about coming to the Beis Hashem. So if you walk in at 10:30 at night, you're still in the Beis Hashem, but it's essentially matching slichos to your schedule rather than suspending your schedule for this build up to Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. All that being said, am I happy that there are early slichos? Of course I'm happy there's early slichos in the world, because there are people that would not get up, and there are elderly people and ill people, and I'm sure thrilled that there's early slichos. And to be quite honest, Baruch Hashem, the last 2-3 years I haven't had to, but you know, I don't really have younger children anymore, but every year, you're fine. Every once in a while, you break down, you're exhausted, it's 9 o'clock, you can't, last night I couldn't see straight at 9 o'clock, so I was going a bit early, it never happened, but, you know, so if you're at the point where you're absolutely collapsing, you're absolutely out of your mind, so that night you go to slichos early, and you exercise. It's not usur, it's not shakheith to shaksenu, ta'if to safenu, it's a slichos that's legitimate, but to say that I am going to go regularly to the 10:30 slichos, especially when you're in yeshiva, but ironically even more important when you're not in yeshiva, when you're in college one day or working, when you don't have all the learning and preparation that you have in yeshiva, that's all you have. How are you going to prepare for a shed if you're not tired, if you're not running every night? And I'm serious, and it's known, like my wife and family knows, this is the week, these are the 2 weeks that I was going to be exhausted out of his mind running. But that's my kiyum, that I feel like I'm working towards Yom HaDin. I feel like it's important. So we'll make sure that everyone's fine, and if you need to go to sleep and early, and we're going to end, probably going to end night Seder probably a little earlier during Slichos night, but it's just going to get worse. I think Slichos next week is going to start, I think 6:30 or 6:40. Did they announce it yet? 6:30, 6:40. But during Aseres and Mechuvah, when they're longer Slichos, I think it's going to start 6:15. So you'd be getting up basically 6 o'clock. And I promise you, you'll have 2 weeks to sleep as much as you want. No one should get sick. No one should feel embarrassed. Again, we're human beings, and we'll treat you like human beings. We'll make sure that your humanity is intact. But don't be afraid to go to that place. And when you go to that place, don't whine about it. Don't complain about it. Embrace it. Don't whine, oh my goodness, I'm tired. How am I going to? What am I going to? Where am I going to? It's okay. I'm happy I'm tired. I'll do my best. I'll come into the base medrash. I'll learn as best as I can. You know, we have a long way to go until you the next Vilna Gaon. It's not like I'm a little tired today. I can't read, you know, this long Tosas. You can't read the Tosas anyway. Try your best. So you do your best. And what difference does it make you read it this way or this way? I mean, I'm not saying it in jest, but there are things that are more important than how well you're reading the Tosas on Dalet Tishrei. There's just things that, you know, you should feel as a Yid. They feel like an Oved Hashem. So I just want to give you that voice. So when you're waking up and it's dark outside, you run into the Beis Medrash for the fourth day of Slichos of Aseres Mechuvah, and you say, Mari Deshmaya, Mari De'Alma, how did I get here? I used to be back in Cleveland eating donuts, watching the Browns lose a game, and here I am, exhausted, running. I mean, when did I get here? How did this happen to me? We want to take you there. We'll go to Mar Samach Pela, and we'll go to the Kvel Kota maybe one night, and we'll get all these opportunities. So that my bracha to you is that when Yom Kippur comes, you'll feel completely depleted in a really good way, and then you'll sleep for 2 weeks and hang out and eat all the pizza and all the donuts you can get for those 2 weeks. Until Hashanah Rabbah, which we'll talk about. Okay. So, don't fret. pour this year also?
I'd
switch it up. You want to switch
it? Fire and slichos.
Okay, so just in terms of technical stuff, the minhag of the yeshiva, slichos polim.